Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve. Back again. Another week's gone by.
Yes, it has.
And we're in the middle of another series, which will probably end sometime, I don't know, who knows, maybe Christmas. No, before Christmas. Maybe next week, maybe following
week. You never know.
You never know. We never know exactly where the show's going, because even though we rehearse for 14 hours a week, it always seems to change. No, we rehearse for about 14 seconds a week, but it always seems to change anyway. And we talked over the last two shows about ambassadors, and we started out with 2 Corinthians 5:19-20, about when Paul says we're ambassadors for Christ and God is pleading through us and he's pleading for us because he wants to reconcile people to himself. And because Jesus and the cross are the only ways to salvation, we become ambassadors for that plan. And we are the ones that are instructed to go out into the world and present those teachings, those plans, those sayings from our government, like an ambassador does. And in this case, our government is the kingdom of God and is Jesus sitting on the throne. And we did kind of a lengthy explanation about an ambassador who goes to another country and has instructions from his government of what he's going to do when he gets to that country, and he doesn't put his own opinions in. He talks, he says the things that his government has instructed him to say, and he doesn't put in his own viewpoints on things. He doesn't change the word. He doesn't add to it. He doesn't take away from it, because his policy, his thing is not to make policy, but to give the instructions that he's gotten from his government. And that's what we're to do with the message. That's what we're to do with the gospel. To not change it, to present it to people. And as ambassadors, we're from the kingdom going out into another nation, in this case, the world, with these instructions, with this information, with this plan, with a capital P. And we talked, too, toward the end of last week's show about how an embassy, which is the sovereign territory of the nation that owns it and is not under the law of the surrounding nation but of the sovereign nation that it represents, how there are guards around the embassy and there's barricades around the embassy and there's fences around the embassy to keep the outside from coming in. And we made the analogy of the church being the embassy that sends us out as ambassadors. But we've seen so many times in our present time that we live in that we've taken the Marines down, we've taken down the barricades, we've taken down the fences, and the world has come into the church. The surrounding embassy, like Morocco, as we've been talking about, has come into the embassy, and now the church is becoming more like the world rather than the world becoming more like the church. Whew.
Wow.
That's a lot of stuff to say really fast.
Yes, it is.
So that was kind of this summary of the last couple of shows. But if you go to giftofgraceministries.org, you can just listen to them, and it's probably better.
Yeah.
And more entertaining.
And more entertaining. Oh, I like listening to you teach.
Yeah.
You're a good teacher.
I was in fast forward. Yeah, well, so that's our job as ambassadors, and you know, this is the point that we're trying to get across.
Well, you know, and the other thing that we've talked about too is like the false prophets and the true prophets. The true prophet is going to tell you what's true. Mm-hmm. He's going to warn you of things that, I should say they're going to warn you of things of staying on the narrow path, striving to enter through the narrow gate. And stay on message and stay on task.
Right.
They don't get into all this fringe stuff. You know, they don't have their own message. Mm-hmm. And that is the cornerstone of the ambassador, is that they come and they proclaim the message that has been given to them, not of their own authority,
right,
but through the authority of the one that was who gave it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of prophets who will tell you what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But a true prophet will tell you what you need to hear. There's a big difference.
Exactly.
Because it's not all about, wow, I want to hear some good news.
Yeah.
I mean, we all like to hear good news every once in a while, you know.
Sure.
But hearing the truth and where we stand before God is much more important than hearing a false gospel.
Exactly.
Because it makes me feel better.
Right.
And in our culture today, we have a great dilemma with this, because a lot of people want to hear what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually want to learn or be taught.
Right.
They want to tell you what they feel or what they think,
mm-hmm,
without having any basis for that feeling or thought based on any type of education,
yeah,
or experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find ourselves in a big dilemma of relativism, that everything is relative to how I feel or how I think. And I think in Paul's day, you know, he did this with the Greeks when he saw the tomb of the unknown God.
Yes.
And they came back to him and said, we'd like to hear more about this mm-hmm, resurrection, mm-hmm, at a later time.
Yeah, we'll get back to you on
we'll
that.
We'll get back to you on that. I'm not quite sure about that. And so, as you're saying, the ambassadorship that we have comes from God,
mm-hmm,
comes through Jesus,
mm-hmm,
and the authority we are given is through the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm,
through the impartation of hands, as Paul says many times, even that he was suffering in chains because of the message that he was proclaiming.
Exactly.
And not changing it so that he can get out of those chains.
Exactly. And as he pointed out many times, the message was not about him. You know, he was the ambassador. We're the ambassadors. It's not our message that we're bringing out. And you bring up a good point about what a false teacher does is he's an ambassador who has his own instructions, his own agenda, his own plan, his own teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we beat up the prosperity gospel people pretty good. But, you know, it doesn't matter what the basis of the falsehood is, when the ambassador's making up the plan and attracting people and having a really big church and people going there, as you say, because they want to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to, maybe they like the music. Maybe they like the fact that God wants them to be rich, or maybe they like the point of, well, we're tolerant and we're diverse and whatever you want to do is okay. You know, I really like this kind of church.
What can I get out of this church?
Yeah.
What can I get out of it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's in it for me?
Yeah. And, you know, we went through this thing about churches being seeker-friendly or, mm-hmm, you know, having really good music. And, you know, as Steve knows, I like really good music in a church. And
Phil's,
you know,
an excellent singer.
Yes. I'm, you know, when I get a chance to sing solos, I do sometimes if the building needs to be evacuated. But I mean, I like really good music, but, you know, the point of it is not to go there and to be entertained.
Right.
As I'm sure you've been to many praise concerts where if you just sit in your seat and listen to the music, and then when the first song's over, you just clap, and then the person goes and does the next song, and then when he's done, you, mm-hmm, just clap. I mean, then you might as well just go to a regular concert.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever we do ministerial-wise in the church or for the kingdom of God, we need to do it with excellence.
Yeah.
We need to do it well. And it's not about making it into a performance,
mm-hmm,
but it's about being prepared.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, you need to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And hence the, you know, like the, how much we prepare for the show.
Right. 14 seconds.
No, 14 hours.
Oh yeah.
No, there's more than 14
seconds.
Don't
give our secrets away.
I know. But the, you know, whatever we do in the kingdom, we need to be prepared so that God can use us in the manner that he desires to use us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not prepared, if I haven't done what God's given me to do today, then I'm not going to be ready for what God wants to give me tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm an ambassador, and I'm kind of a sluggish ambassador, mm-hmm. and I'm just, you know, kind of dopey, and I really don't get it, mm-hmm. and I don't follow along too well, I'm really going to delay the message that, you know, the authority wants to give.
Right.
And in this case, it's the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And it's a very important message.
Yes. And Paul asks, are we qualified to do that?
Yeah.
No, we're not qualified to do that. And, you know, are we, you know, just kind of doing it because, oh, well, I guess I might as well just go be an ambassador. No, we're doing it. We're being used despite our weaknesses, despite our failings. We have zero qualifications, but we're appointed to do it. Every Christian has to go and evangelize. Every Christian has to be an ambassador. And the only criteria for this is that you've accepted the message yourself,
mm-hmm.
or else it's very difficult to proclaim a message you don't believe in.
Right.
But you have to be amazed at that message.
Yeah.
You have to be so transformed and amazed by that message, and you have to be awestruck by it. And you also have to be awestruck by the fact that you're being used to carry this message. As we've said many times on the show here, we're imperfect messengers with a perfect message.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we get to carry the message should leave us speechless.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of the times where the two apostles, they came and asked Jesus, Master, let us sit one at your right and one at your left.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for.
Yeah.
You know, can you drink the same cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the same baptism that I will be baptized in?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, yes, we can. And he says, okay, well, you will be, but you're not going to get the places of honor that you're seeking.
That's right.
You're going to drink the same cup and you're going to get the same baptism, but that place is left for God alone. And when we seek a position of authority like that, or we try to take a position of ministry in the church that hasn't been given to us, we create havoc in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We create great havoc in the body of Christ. And we're to be humble, unprofitable servants because we're only doing what God's asked us to do.
Mm-hmm.
God's gifted everybody in a certain manner with certain gifts to serve the body of Christ. And if I try to make it more about me than the gift, then obviously I'm diluting the message of the gospel, and I'm creating my own message.
That's right.
Which is a false gospel.
You're putting your own message into it.
And
you're
thus,
not
I'm
following
not
your instructions.
I'm not following my instructions very well at all, and I'm not a good ambassador.
Right. That's right. And those two apostles you mentioned, who are James and John, and even their mother got in on it. Even their mother, because you know she wanted her sons to have like a nice job and stuff, but
good pay.
You know, they when they were later filled with the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit. Then they became true ambassadors because they had their foundation on the rock. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. They're filled with the Spirit. Then they go out as ambassadors. They engage Jews. They engage Gentiles. They weren't there to entertain the people that they were evangelizing. They were there to present the message from the kingdom because they were the ambassadors. They didn't have a word that was corrupted. When you take the guard down in front of the embassy and you let the law of the surrounding land come in, you know, what do you have? You have a church where people come in because they want to improve their lives. They want to kind of enrich themselves a little bit, you know, have some life experiences that they weren't having, you know, talk about their jobs and their finances and their family life. And maybe you have a course on parenting and maybe have a course on marriage and, you know, try to live a better life. You know, I'm going to add some interesting things to my life. And plus while I'm here, I can have kind of a nice social club. Mm-hmm. I feel better about myself now that I'm here and I've met these other nice people and we're all taking our kids to soccer and we're all going to the country club to play tennis. And we all have really nice jobs and nice cars and we really enjoy coming here. Because we really feel good about ourselves when we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And this pastor, man, he's just really identifies with us. And he's telling us all this stuff. And, you know, this really fits in to our agenda as a person. Because it's very inviting to use your own human desires and ideas. Mm-hmm. And when those are reinforced, you say, oh, this is really good.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't about son of man doesn't have a place to lay his head, hate your father and your mother, you're going to be persecuted, you might be killed. You know, we don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. We want to talk about this nice stuff, and this is a very nice social club. You know, Paul didn't teach like that. Peter didn't teach like that. You know, they weren't concerned about themselves.
No.
Paul didn't go someplace with a secular agenda. He certainly didn't go someplace to enrich himself.
No.
On the contrary, they even said
that he went back to building tents.
Because
they never wanted to be a burden.
That's right.
To the communities that they preached to.
Exactly.
Never.
That's right. He told the people in Corinth, hey, I haven't gotten anything from any of you. You're not supporting me. I'm supporting myself making tents. Yeah. So here was St. Paul making tents, you know, and he was earning a living and he was supporting himself. And when you see Paul compared to when he was Saul of Tarsus, when you see him as Paul the Apostle, his life was much more difficult after his conversion than before.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was a big-time Pharisee before that. He had kind of a nice setup there in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Probably had a nice office at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably had people working under him and had a secretary. And, you know, he had a nice situation. Now, he's going around the world. He says, listen, I preach Christ and Christ crucified, and that's all I talk about. And I have to make tents so I can live and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 24, you know, we have this really, actually, Steve, why don't you look that up and read it? Where, you know, you talk about when you go to the seeker-friendly prosperity church and you go through all these things that I just mentioned, let's look at Paul when he became Paul after his conversion and he was out, you know, kind of on the road, preaching the word as an ambassador. Do you have that ready to read?
2 Corinthians 11, 4?
Starting at verse 24 and going 24. Through 28.
5 times at the hands of the Jews I received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I passed a night and a day on the deep, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own race, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, through hunger and thirst, through frequent fastings, through cold and exposure. And apart from these things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches.
Oof. Now, does that sound like he had a pretty cushy life after he was converted? No.
No.
I mean, look at all the stuff that happened to him. And, you know, he was not in a seeker-friendly prosperity church.
To say the least.
He could not have done a testimony where his life was immeasurably better in a physical way because he had become a follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But he tolerated these things, and he did these things because he was an ambassador for the gospel. And like he says in that last verse, he's concerned about the churches. He's concerned about the people that he's brought to the Lord, the communities, churches that he has planted, that he's founded. He's worried about what's going to happen to them because he's already warned them that false teachers were going to come in and that false teachers were going to lead them astray.
Yeah.
And that the cross was going to be diluted of its meaning. Ooh.
Mm.
Let's listen to Paul Wilbur.
This is Paul Wilbur?
Yes. Check out giftofgraceministries.org. You can find all the radio shows, a lot of teachings, find out how to get onto podcasts. We'll be right back.
Cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. You are this place, be enthroned upon our praises. May our worship rise like incense as we magnify the sun. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, Jerusalem. We join our hearts together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, what an awesome song.
That is awesome. Who sings that again?
Paul Wilbur. Paul Go Wilbur. To WilburMinistries.com and just buy all the CDs. Anyway, Paul had such concern for the churches that this is what his message was. Because when he warned them false teachers were coming, he knew the cross was going to be diluted of its meaning. The gospel was going to be weakened. People were going to be sidetracked. So what do we have going on today in our churches? You know, is this happening? Is this happening in your church? Are people being sidetracked? Is the message being sidetracked? Mm-hmm. Is the message about the cross? Is this a message about, or is the message about how, well, we can't really hurt anybody's feelings because we want everybody to be happy here? I mean, these are things that as ambassadors, we have to think about. Paul did his job by preaching and presenting the word. And it says, he says he was approved by God and not by men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men didn't approve of him. They thought he was kind of annoying, actually. Yeah. You know, Peter in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John say to the Pharisees, hey, are we supposed to be approved by God or by you guys?
Right.
We're doing this gospel thing because Jesus told us to do it. God's approved us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to chain us up, if you want to whip us, if you want to do whatever, that's okay, because we feel good, we're honored that we're being persecuted for the name.
Yeah.
And this is where we are. I mean, can we tolerate hardships? Can we tolerate this? I mean, we're worried about the neighbors going to think we're wackos if we mention Jesus. How would we be ambassadors in chain or be shipwrecked or be beaten with rods or have trouble in the city, trouble in the countryside and all these things? You know, mm-hmm. are we going to be able to withstand that?
Yeah. You know, God chooses us. And as we just read about Paul, we have kind of, I think we've come under the assumption in a lot of Christian denominations that once we say the sinner's prayer, we repent and we turn our life over and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we turn our lives over to God, that everything's going to change for the better,
mm-hmm.
as we think in worldly terms. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, this old rust bucket of a car that I've got, bye-bye, here comes a brand new one, and other things. But what really happens is God strips away, if we're truly docile to allowing God to prune us,
mm-hmm.
God will strip away everything that is not of him, mm-hmm. everything that is a distraction, everything that is an obstacle to him becoming the center of our life.
Mm.
I think we have to remember that, you know, in the time of Jesus, the Jews worshiped at the temple because it was the center of their life. God was the center of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Morning prayer, mm-hmm. afternoon prayer, evening prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When do we do that?
Yeah.
You know, what Christian churches do that today? Mm-hmm. There's the liturgy of the hours that the Catholic Church uses, as far as, you know, priests and lay people can say it. And that structure is still there, but we don't, as a whole, pray like that, with that type of, I don't want to say liturgical, yeah, prayer is liturgical. You know, we don't pray with that type of liturgical setup that they had, mm-hmm. that was the center of their life.
It was the rhythm of their life.
It was the rhythm of their life. Every day, this mm-hmm. is what, this is because this is because God was so important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And as an ambassador, if I myself am not taking my spending time with God seriously, praying and seeking God's will, how good of an ambassador can I be? Am I going to be willing to put up with, you know, where Paul's saying that, you know, dangers from robbers and dangers from his own race, dangers from the Gentiles and in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brothers.
He never knew what was going to happen to him.
And yet we go out and we can preach the message and we get rejected, or somebody doesn't receive that message and, you know, they don't like me.
Yeah.
It's not about me.
That's right. Or I didn't get a good parking space.
Yeah.
It's too windy to go today.
You know, I had a park.
It's too hot. Yeah. It's too cold. It's too.
We have a lot. We can make up a lot of excuses.
And poor Paul's like hanging on to some board so he doesn't drown in the ocean.
Yeah. And so when you look at this passage from 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, starting at 24 again, I think it's really, really sobering of what can be asked of us,
yes,
and is asked of us,
yeah,
as being a disciple, as being an ambassador for Christ.
That's right. And when Paul writes to Timothy, you know, Timothy was a young pastor and Paul kind of was a spiritual father. So he writes a lot of kind of interesting things to Timothy, but we're going to do a couple of things from 2 Timothy, but both in both passages in chapter 2, but in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, he says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer." As an evildoer, he was suffering, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. He was chained because he was preaching the gospel. He's suffering as an evildoer because he's preaching the gospel as an ambassador. Mm-hmm. Then in verse 10, he says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory."
Yeah.
So I got to keep preaching because people are going to hear this message. They're going to be converted. They're going to be saved. So I'm chained up, but, you know, it's okay. I'm still preaching because even though I'm like chained to this pole, as people walk by, I go, "Hey, you, come here a second. I want to tell you something." Uh-huh. "Hey, you, come over here." I don't care if you let me out of prison. I just got to preach while I'm here. And this is exactly what you're just talking about. This was a matter of surrender. You know, if we're put in chains for preaching the gospel, we say, "Hey, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have done that because now look, I'm in trouble."
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm uncomfortable here in this prison cell.
Yeah.
I don't care about the gospel anymore. I'm uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I need better food. I need a better bed. I need better temperature in here. I don't care about the gospel. I'm not comfortable right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's surrendered all that. You know, he's had this suffering. He's even in chains. You know, we probably won't be chained up for our faith, but maybe someday we will.
Mm-hmm.
In many countries, people are chained.
Right.
People are willing to be martyred. You know, right. And you can just read everything that's happened in the last few months in Egypt and in Syria and in Nigeria, and it goes on and on and on.
Right.
Where people have been killed in their own churches. People right. have been killed in wedding ceremonies.
Right.
People have been machine gunned, crucified, hung, killed with knives. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul has surrendered all this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in our culture, we need to be comfortable. You know, right. that's one of our idols. We need to be comfortable.
Right.
And I mean, me too. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Nobody mm-hmm. wants to be uncomfortable.
No.
And, you know, we have idolatry in the sense of, you know, we don't know too many people that actually worship the statue of a god. I mean, I don't know anybody who does. And,
I don't either.
But we have different kinds of idolatry. You know, we have our right. job and our house and our car and our likes and our hobbies and our, you know, all the things we like to do, because this takes the place of God, and our culture brings this on.
Mm-hmm.
And as ambassadors, we have to explain to the culture that if you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. If you don't have Christ, you don't have salvation. If you don't have Christ, you stand condemned in your sins, regardless of whether you're Bill Gates or Donald Trump or the guy who's, you know, living out in the park at night.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what your idols are. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. So as ambassadors, we're under his authority to proclaim that.
Right.
And we have to explain to people that, you know, Jesus is also, he's not only just a savior, but he's Lord. He's Lord of our lives. He's Lord of the earth. He sits on the throne of David and rules over the whole universe.
Mm-hmm.
This is who we get our instructions from.
Yeah.
You know, we don't turn to him after everything else fails. You say, "Well, Lord, I got this problem, and I talked to Steve about it, and I talked to Joe about it, and I talked to Bob about it, and then I went out and, you know, thought about it for a while, and I can't come up with a solution, so what do you think?"
Yeah.
"Nobody else has helped me out, so what do you think?" You know, we're not supposed to turn to him as kind of the last resort.
Right.
You know, all my human things have failed, so let's just go ask the Lord, you know, let me go ask the Lord what he thinks. And this is not a matter of surrender, you know?
As a fire extinguisher, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A cosmic bellhop,
yeah.
I like to say. So in other words, we want to decide how to live our own lives. We want to present, you know, our quote message, because we want to present what we like.
Mm-hmm.
And then when things go wrong, we say, "Well, Lord, you know, how did this happen?"
You remind me of a conversation I had with somebody. This was well before I was a believer, or when I came back to the Lord, I should say. And my life was in a bit of turmoil at that point. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was asking him some questions, and he said, "Well, it's like, looks like it's your best thinking that got you into this situation." I was too happy at that, because I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, talking to him for a little bit of advice. He's like giving me a smart aleck answer. It's what you're saying. Our worldliness, our own humanness, we think in terms of how a human being thinks, because mm-hmm. we're human beings.
Sure.
And Jesus told Peter that a number of times.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking as a human being does, mm-hmm. not as God does.
Right.
And thus, we can get ourselves into situations that we find, one, how did I get here? And secondly, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
And if we haven't relied on God, and if we haven't sought his direction, his consolation, and his friendship, mm-hmm. then we are going to find ourselves in those type of situations. Some of them can be very precarious. Some of them can be life-threatening. Some of them can be, you know, even threatening to our own soul, mm-hmm. our own existence of being in, you know, of salvation and eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is very important, not just for those who hear the message, but also for the one who delivers the message, mm-hmm. because the one who delivers the message is going to be held to a higher account of what they've said, what they've done, and how they've responded,
mm-hmm.
and how do they carry or deliver the message that was entrusted to them.
And I don't think we can overemphasize that. That's so critically important.
You know, a lot of people think we're going to just be going up, "Hey, Jesus, give me a high five."
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, it would be nice if it's going to be that way, mm-hmm. but I don't think Jesus died on the cross to give me a free pass and say, "Hey, high five, Steve, how you doing? I know you didn't do anything when I asked you to do it, but come on in anyway." I don't think that's going to go over too well.
Yeah.
We have a responsibility
again,
as a believer.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, it's a matter of surrender. It's not, well, we said the sinner's prayer, we accepted the Lord, and now we go on with our own life as if nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you talk about the higher standard, you know, this is, of course, from the book of James. Those of you that are going to be teachers, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you're sitting under a teacher who's telling you things that don't sound right, that don't measure up with what you know from the scriptures, you have to really reevaluate, should I really be here or not?
Right.
And, you know, we've picked on the prosperity people enough. There's also a lot of other, there's also the, you know, what I call the, you know, the crazy grace people. Like, oh, everything's grace.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's covered. Hey, it's okay. No matter what you do, don't worry. Everything's covered. You know, don't worry about all that
you
stuff.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
God's grace will cover you.
Hey, man, there's no scorecard. Remember, everything's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, there isn't a scorecard, and there is grace, and it's awesome, but it's not a license. It's not a presumption.
It's not a license to act
as a
pagan.
And presumption is a very serious problem. It's a serious sin against the Holy Spirit when you presume that everything is okay just because you think it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're getting teaching that doesn't sound right, you know, we talked about the Bereans, and those of you in Berea know what I'm talking about. The Bereans, Paul said to the Bereans, hey, when I say something, you look through the scripture. They sat there with their scrolls, and when Paul was talking, they were checking him out. And Paul said, that's good. You sit there with your scripture, and when I say something, you check it out. If it doesn't agree with scripture, then tell me.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul talks about that, like in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about sound teaching. And in verse 3, he says, I repeat and request the request I made of you when I was on my way to Macedonia, that you stay in Ephesus to instruct certain people not to teach false doctrines or to concern themselves with myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the plan of God that is to be received by faith. The aim of this instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some people have deviated from these and turned to meaningless talk, wanting to be teachers of the law, but without understanding either what they are saying or what they assert with such assurance. Wow. We know that the law is good, provided that one uses it as law, with the understanding that law is meant for not for a righteous person, but for the lawless and unruly, the godless, the sinful, the unholy, the profane. And he goes on, those who kill their fathers and mothers, murderers, and et cetera. And so...
Oh, I love this song.
I love this song, too. We'll come back to this.
I encourage you to go to the teaching page on our website, giftofgraceministries.org, and listen to the introduction to the Song of Songs. This song's from chapter 2 of the Song of Songs. We'll be right back.
Springtime has come.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Woo, that is an awesome
song. I say that about all songs. Song.
Yeah.
Well,
they all are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
I can't sing it the way he does. Actually, Steve can, but I can't. I just do the minor chords and then I add the voice later.
Yeah, there we go.
So anyway, where did we leave off?
We were talking about sound teaching in 1 Timothy.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter 1, and I started at verse 3.
Not sound singing, sound teaching.
Sound teaching. Okay. So what Paul's saying here is that some people have deviated from these and turned to meaningless talk, mm-hmm. that they're not teaching with a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Mm. And they're bringing up their own theologies, their own ideas. And he says, know that the law is good, provided that one uses it as law, with the understanding that law is meant not for a righteous person, but for the lawless and unruly, the godless, the sinful, the unprofane, the holy, or the profane, the unholy, and those who kill, murder, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is opposed to sound teaching. And whatever else is opposed to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, with which I have been entrusted.
Oh, yeah. Whew.
You know, we're entrusted with this message of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And it means life or death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you put it in those terms, you see the seriousness of what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, it's not, hey, everybody, you know, my son died for you and come on in now.
Mm-hmm.
No, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul has a whole list of people who aren't going to inherit the kingdom. Yeah.
And it's not that we're going to be perfect, but we have to turn to God mm-hmm. and ask for his mercy and receive his grace.
Yes, that's right.
It's not automatic.
That's right.
Because we have a big role in, you know, God gives us free will to choose. And if we choose not to receive him,
mm-hmm.
we choose to turn away from him
mm-hmm.
countless times and time and time and time again. I mean, it's between God and that person. But do you want to put yourself in that position?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here's the line in the room, and on one side of the line is a raging fire, and the other side you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how close are you going to get to that raging fire? You know, how close do you really want to stand right at the line so that you get singed or even burned? No. But yet, with some teaching today, we are listening to we're listening to false teaching, saying, well, you know, I can see that. I can see part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the whole truth.
Right.
We listen to people talk. They tell us things. And we go, oh, that sounds, I guess that sounds good. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. You mean I can have the whole candy store
mm-hmm.
and I won't gain any weight and yeah. I won't have any problems
right,
with.
Right, right. Right, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know, it Man, doesn't work like
that's
that.
That's right. And we're supposed to be salt and light.
We're supposed to be salt and light.
We're supposed to be, we're ambassadors carrying that message like Paul was carrying that message. And we can't be afraid to say it. We can't be ashamed to say it.
And we're allowing our light to be extinguished.
That's right.
By darkness.
Exactly right. If we don't speak up, if we're afraid to say it, if we're ashamed to say it.
Right.
That's exactly right. Our light's under the bushel basket mm-hmm. again, and the salt's thrown out to be trampled.
Right.
And it's no good anymore.
And it's no good anymore.
Yeah, it's thrown out in the dirt, trampled. So what good is it? And this is what we do if we don't present the message we have as ambassadors, if we don't confront false teaching. When you have teachers on Christian television stations who don't believe in the Trinity, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When you have people saying any manner of, you know, false, heretical things, and no one says anything to them. And I'm not talking about having a difference of opinion about something. I'm talking about having some crazy idea about something that every Christian would say, I believe this. But when somebody says, oh, it's actually like this, you say, oh, well, that's an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting viewpoint. I never thought of it that way. That's a false teaching that has to be confronted.
Right.
because you're the ambassador who has the message. And if you're afraid or you're ashamed, you're not carrying out the instructions of your government.
And it's happened through the ages,
yes,
throughout history.
Oh, it started right in Paul's time. It
started right in Paul's time, and it continues. There's been heresy after heresy after heresy throughout church history from the time of Jesus to our present day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the devil's really great at repackaging a lie. He can repackage a lie and sell it back, you know,
yes,
a million times over. And he'll, you know, there's always somebody that's going to go, oh, geez, maybe that is. But if we know the Word of God, and this is why studying Scripture is so vitally important to in the life of a Christian.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you do not know the Word of God, then you are ignorant of Christ.
Amen.
You cannot know what God teaches or what Jesus taught if you've never read Scripture.
Yeah. Back in Jerome's time, who wrote the Vulgate, the first Latin Bible, he said, ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have people who say, well, I don't have to study the Bible because I just go to church and they tell me what I need to do, you're ignorant of Christ.
Right.
Because you have to know the Word.
How do you put it up? When somebody's telling you something, what do you put it up against?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You have to be a Berean. Those of you in Berea know what I'm talking about.
There you go, picking on the Bereans again.
Do they have that in Youngstown?
No.
No, Paul never mentions you got to be like the people in Youngstown. He just says Berea.
Just so see there. No, that's not the suburb, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, he also says to Timothy, the responsibility of Timothy, I entrust this charge to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophetic words once spoken about you. Through them, may you fight a good fight by having faith and a good conscience. Some, by rejecting conscience, have made a shipwreck of their faith.
Mm.
And he gives a couple names, among them Alexander and Hymenaeus, whom I have handed over to be taught not to blaspheme.
Oof, handed them over.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe the show's over already. Well, anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we will pray for you and have an awesome week, everyone. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.